Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. For questions or to discuss the issues you may be dealing with in life right now, we invite you to call. That number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. We're live on the air and online, so you can call and get an immediate answer to your question or discuss those important issues in life that you're facing right now. Again, a toll-free number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We all look for hope in life. Without hope, we just wither up and die. I mean, that's how important hope is, and we've seen that just in every corner of the world. You know, it's one of the great themes that are written about or talked about in movies and that sort of thing. But there's really only one true, genuine hope, and that's the hope that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings us. And that's what we are introduced to when we hear about the good news of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. But it's not a temporary hope. It's not a hope that will fix just certain problems that we're going through in life. It's an eternal hope, and it's also a living hope. And we introduced that yesterday by sharing the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus was sick, and Mary and Martha were so distraught over his illness, they sent word to Jesus, and their hope was that Jesus would come and heal him, like they had seen him do to so many others who were sick with various diseases. But Jesus chose a different route. He lingered for a number of days before he actually arrived on the scene. When he did arrive on the scene, Lazarus was dead. And so he wanted to say to the people in that story, it's like you have a hope, and it's based on the fact that Lazarus was alive. But I am going to bring a hope that transcends life and death and leads to something even more important, the life after everlasting. And that's what Peter wrote about in his first letter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus Christ introducing them to a living hope through resurrection. That's what we're introduced to when we come to Christ as well, a living hope, Jesus Christ himself alive, living in us. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah.
If you're going through a problem situation right now, if life is overwhelming to you, if you're a believer, Jesus Christ is right there in the midst of that. He's going through it with you. He is the living hope that you have. If you open up your eyes, you see that he is alive, living in you. I can guarantee that some of the anxiety, some of the angst, some of the just darkness of that situation will start dissipating simply by knowing that the living one, Jesus Christ himself, is right there with you.
Good news from Basic Gospel to all of our listeners, and thank you for joining us, everybody. We'd love for you to pose a question on this edition. You can do that by calling 844-322-2742. Again, 844-32-BASIC. Several calls on the line, so I guess, guys, let's do it.
Let's just jump right in. We're going to go to Nick in Jersey City, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Nick.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. God bless you both. How are you today?
We're doing fantastic. What's on your mind this Friday?
Well, I'm looking to enjoy the weekend. The weather looks good, but I have a quick question about grace. I've been listening to you guys for about 2 years now, and I enjoy your station. But I seem to have a question about grace today. We're saved by grace and faith alone, not by our works. And I hear a lot on the station about, you know, people calling about feeling guilty about their sin, and, you know, is God going to be there with a hammer or hit them, you know, for doing things wrong, and, you know, God's not sitting on the sidelines waiting for that. He's hoping we do well. And when we make mistakes, we can go to him in repentance and ask for forgiveness. And you know, everything is good. He cleanses from all unrighteousness. But a lot of times I hear your guys rebuttal that, you know, we've been saved for all of our sins and forgiven for all of our sins. one time at the cross, and there's really not a need to feel guilty or repent for sins because they've all been covered already by Jesus. As far as salvation goes, yeah, we can't lose our salvation. We don't stay saved by doing good things. But my problem is, and concern is, that we're looking at sin as if it's not that great of an issue. Like, you know, okay, let me go on, and, you know, chastisement isn't going to come. And if you read Hebrews 11, actually Hebrews 12, it talks about God chastising his true sons and daughters. And to expect chastisement, if he really loves you and you're part of the family, you will be corrected and chastened for sin. And a lot of times I feel like you guys don't express that. You know, it's just like, okay, we sinned, no problem, move on. And that's really not what Scripture teaches. You know, we're held accountable for sin.
Well, Nick, as far as
we should be looking to do the right thing and take it very seriously.
Yeah. Well, Nick, no problem with what you're saying there at all. It's kind of the how of it. How does that work? How does that spell itself out in our lives? And our take here at Basic Gospel is grace is what initiates that process in our lives, as we talked about on Wednesday's broadcast, and I think Tuesday's broadcast as well, is that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It's this grace of God that works something in our lives to change our minds, change our belief system, and move us down the right path. So if we will give grace its due, then we will see grace's results in a very, very positive way in our lives. As we've talked about time and time again, it's the grace of God that teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to unrighteousness, and to live blessed lives and righteous lives as we wait for the glorious appearing of Christ Jesus. So we're not going to back away from that simple plan of God of by grace through faith in Jesus. That's not only for salvation, that's for daily living as well. And I think what the grace of God eventually does, at least this is what I've seen in my life, Nick, is given me a deeper sense of what sin really is. You know, for so long I looked at sin as merely a violation of the law, but now I see my actions, my choices, in terms of consequences that those actions and choices bring into the lives of other individuals. And I really see my sin as the very opposite of what love is. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Sin harms its neighbor. And so when I see those consequences, my heart just weeps for the sense that I've been involved in that. I've been engaged in that as a child of God. And I cry out, Lord, do something inside of this mind, this heart of mine, to bring it in alignment with yours. Because I don't want to bring harm to people. And that's when true repentance takes place. So it's not.
I understand that.
So repentance isn't necessarily a thing that looks back and tries to clean up something that went on yesterday. Repentance is something that I guess recognizes right where I am today and makes me look forward in hope and anticipation of what Christ is going to continue to do in and through me.
Right. But I've heard you say directly that, you know, if you do sin and you do something wrong, that God is not going to chastise you for it.
I've never said that, Nick. You haven't heard that on this broadcast. He does chastise us. But that word chastise, it's all about discipline. He's constantly disciplining us through his word and through his Holy Spirit. That's part of his job, and he does so because he loves us. And he does so because he's looking for a harvest of righteousness in our lives. So there's not a punishment aspect to that discipline. There's a training aspect of it that is going to lead to a harvest of righteousness. That's the end result of that of that discipline that God brings into our lives. And right. Yes, he does.
I agree with that. I just heard some, maybe I'm mistaken, maybe it didn't come from you directly or your partner, but sometimes when Cole is calling, it's like they call in with this guilt, and it's not that we should be walking around with guilt. We need to hand it over immediately to the Lord and ask him to, you know, clean us, cleanse us from that and help us walk the right way. But we should feel guilty because that's the Holy Spirit directing us. If we don't feel guilt, we have a problem. That's my point. A lot of people just seem to be brushing it off as, you know, well, it's okay. We'll do better next time. It's a little more serious than that. And in my own life, I'm
well, and that's why we have to take what the Lord did very seriously. I mean,
absolutely.
If
you just read Hebrews 12 again, and anybody listening, it explains it very clearly. You know, because I remember we talked about Jonah a couple weeks ago, and Jonah heavily dealt with for doing wrong, and we still will be today in the New Testament. Hebrews talks about it. You know, if God doesn't chastise you, you're not one of His. You know, and we should expect to be dealt with. If we're doing something really bad, we're going to be, God may deal with us really bad.
Well, He deals. He doesn't see. Here's the deal, Nick. Is I don't want people to come away and think, well, God only gets in action when we do something wrong, because that is not the truth. God is alive, living in us. He's always in action on our behalf. There's never a moment where He's asleep. There's never a moment where His eye isn't toward us, that He's not paying attention to us. And so He's constantly working in us. He's working in us when we're experiencing the fruit of the Spirit. If He wasn't working in us, we wouldn't be experiencing the fruit of the Spirit. He's working in us when we're choosing the desires of the flesh. He's working in us at that time. So it's 100% of the time that God is at work in us, completing the work that He began in us. We can count on that. And when it comes to sin, I think it's more important for us to take serious the work of Jesus. Don't put, because His work trumps our work any day of the week. And so if I can get people connected to the work of Jesus, I can leave the results of their lives into Jesus' hands. Well, Nick, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it,
yes,
my friend.
Indeed. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Several calls on the line, so let's keep it going.
Let's go to Kenny in Denver, Colorado. Hi, Kenny.
Well, hello again, and thank you for all your insight and taking my call. My call today goes on along with topics that I've heard recent past, as well as the previous caller, is about discernment. Now, we learn through our experiences in life, and yes, some of the things that come at us is unpleasant, but what man makes for bad, God makes it for good in the long run. And that's how I live. That's how God lives within me. I call myself a servant of God, not that I'm justified or deserving of being called a servant, but I try to point people in the direction that I've learned. I've made my mistakes, and I've paid my penalties, the guilt or whatever. But I just wanted to bring out about the discernment, these preachers that talk about the tithing, and I understand that. Well, they've got, in my opinion, got the wrong misconception, and they're going to, and I don't mean it in a harsh manner, they're going to pay for their misconception. They're leading some people down the wrong road. I just wanted to say those things.
Well, Kenny, thanks for hopping on today and expressing what's on your heart. Again, that's where we have to go back to the work of Christ. You know, when we think of the word guilt, I think in today's culture, we think of the feeling of guilt.
Yes.
And we don't like to be manipulated by that feeling. And many use guilt, the feeling of guilt, as a manipulative tool to try to move a person in one direction or another, to get a certain action out of a person. You know, we all have experienced guilt trips, right? Well, that's one aspect of the word guilt, but there's also another aspect of the word guilt that I think is the aspect that we really overlook. And it is whether you're guilty of something or not. It has nothing to do with feelings.
No.
It has nothing to do with those emotions that we can experience. It's a matter of, did you do it or did you not? Are you guilty or not guilty? It's almost what we see in the legal system. They don't care about a person's feelings. They are just looking at all the evidence and making a judgment about whether that person committed the crime or he didn't commit the crime. And at the end, the judgment will come down that he's either guilty or not guilty. Now, how that person who committed that act feels about it, that's a completely different story.
Right.
Well, when we're guilty of sin, we're guilty of sin. I committed that. I did it. Now, I might have feelings of guilt that, oh, God is going to punish me. I'm a million miles away from God. I might have feelings of shame for doing that. But those are different than the actual guilt. I did it. I did it. And because I did it, I should stand condemned before God, deserving of punishment. The wages of sin is death. Well, either I'm going to pay that penalty or someone else is. And that's the story of the gospel. Jesus stood in our place and he paid the penalty. He who knew no sin became sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So if I sin tomorrow, did I actually do that? Yes, I've actually sinned. I've actually violated the law, transgressed the law. I've actually, in doing so, either brought harm to myself or to another individual. I've actually done that. And so, yes, if God was going to judge me on that particular action, I would stand condemned, deserving of the death penalty. But that's where I step back and say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. You took the punishment for me. Thank you, God, that you did not sweep that under the rug. Thank you, God, that you did not just wink at it and shove it somewhere. That you saw it, you dealt with it, you judged it, you condemned it, you punished it in Jesus so that I could be free. That's the gospel message. So we have to admit our guilt, not the feelings of guilt, but our actual guilt.
The fact of it.
I did it. But I also admit that judgment has already taken place. God has already done something in regards to that sin. That's this gospel message.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think one of the things that confuses people these days is that there are so many stories in the news of prisoners who have been exonerated. It turns out, after deeper inspection, that they did not do the crime. And so they've been released because they're exonerated. We're not exonerated in Jesus. We are guilty, but he took the penalty, and then we have been declared righteous because of that. It's a very different thing than what you see going on in our society today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Well, in just a moment, we'll go talk to William, listening in Livermore, California. But guys, we have let our listeners know through the course of this week that we need X number of dollars before the end of the month in order to meet our budget. What's it looking like?
Well, we started out the month with $105,000, and what we want is to meet the 500,000 mile post by the end of June. By the time we get through the first half of the year, that was our budget that we were hoping that would come in through contributions from people all over the country. So to reach that, we started out the month of June with a need of $105,000. Well, we've moved a little forward. We've progressed a little bit. So as of today, we need $75,000 between now and the end of the month.
Okay.
So one, thank you to those who are responding. Thank you to those who are contributing to help us meet this $500,000 goal for the first half of the year. We have $75,000 left. Gosh, we're talking, you know, a lot of people doing a little bit. We can wipe that out pretty quickly.
Yes, yeah, still got 18 days to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. And for your gift this month of $15 or more, maybe you give $100, maybe you give $200, I'm going to send you a copy of my new book, Simply Gospel, Simply Grace. Mm-hmm. We'll autograph it and send it to you. Yeah. And would love for you to have that, to read it, and then pass it on to someone else. Help us get the word out. But please, be generous today. Give a gift today to help us meet this goal. We only need $75,000 more.
Yes, indeed. You can click donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator right now, as a matter of fact, at 844-412-2742. Now, that's a little bit different than the call-in number, 844-412-2742, to speak with our operator.
What if somebody wants to mail that donation in? How would they do that?
Yeah, send it simply to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310. And, of course, that's in Louisville, Texas, and the zip is 75057, 75057.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, let's go out to Livermore, California, and talk to our friend William. Hi, William.
Hi, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate the topic that Nick brought up in his references to the book of Hebrews, because that book contrasts our efforts to make ourselves right before God by observance of the law with being made righteous before God through faith in Jesus Christ. And in chapter 10, it starts off by reminding us that the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming and not the realities. And for that reason, the law can never, by the same sacrifices, make perfect those who draw near to worship. And it goes on to say, if it could, then those sacrifices would have stopped being offered, for the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. So I see that as saying that those who are trying to make themselves right before God by obedience to the law, they continue to feel guilty for their sins. And those who have truly accepted Christ accept that they have been made righteous and holy in his sight, free from accusation and without blemish.
You're right, William. You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, once you've received the pardon, it's done. It's over. There's nothing more to be done. I mean, you could sit and talk about it and dredge it up and all of those sort of things, but it doesn't change the fact that it's been taken care of once and for all. And that's what the sacrificial system, that's what that sacrificial was doing. It was dredging up the sin over and over and over, making them realize that it hadn't been dealt with once and for all. But now in Christ, it has been. His blood was sufficient to take away all sin, not just some sin, but all sin. And that's the good news, and that's what we have to learn to rest in. And when we really are fully persuaded, that's when rest really takes hold of these souls of ours. And when we have those feelings of guilt, we can offset those by the simple truth that the sin has been dealt with once and for all. Well, as always, William, we sure thank you for your keen insights.
Yes.
Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. We thank everybody who's called to be a part of this one. And if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live at Basic Gospel, why, we encourage you to drop us an email if you have something you'd like us to discuss, a particular Bible passage you can't quite understand. Why, hopefully we can get an answer to you, and we'd love to address your question on a later edition of the broadcast. In the meantime, we invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. Just click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page at the website at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us today for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody.